Good morning, everybody. What an amazing passage. What an amazing passage. We've been working through the Passion as told by John over the last 3 weeks, and we'll finish his story on Easter Sunday with the good news of his resurrection from the dead. But today we look at this small passage, this passage that tells us about how Jesus departed, how the King departed. The sign was placed over his head on the cross. Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. The Good Friday sermon is like, it's got a little bit of pressure associated with it, because we have visitors sometimes and it's an important event on the calendar, and I have been very, very nervous to do justice to this sermon and help people to understand the sacrifice and the suffering of our Lord as he died for our sins. And that lies here in this passage. But John draws our focus elsewhere. As much as I've wanted to prepare a sermon telling you all about the suffering of Jesus, the longer I have reflected on this passage, the more I've realized that for John, as he tells the story of the Passion, the suffering of Jesus and his death for our sin, atoning for our sin, whilst it is there and present through his narrative, it's a minor key. The Passion narrative would have been familiar to many members of the early church by the time John came to writing his gospel and writing his account. And when we read John's account, we see the suffering of Jesus, yes, but there are other things that he feels that we, as his disciples, should know about the events of that last day. Events that weren't mentioned in the narratives that were circulating at the time that John wrote. John wanted to complete and finish the picture of what happened on that day. And as I've prepared this sermon, I just keep on getting drawn to those final few verses. Those final few verses. Verse 25 of chapter 19. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Why does John want us to focus on that event? Why? We had a reading last night and there were 35 people here, and Ben May, he read this passage last night, and he read it with drama and passion. I was chatting with Maureen at the door and she felt like she was there, because the trial, the death, it was real and it was vivid. And when Ben came to this passage, he read those words, "Woman, here is your son," and to the disciple, "Here is your mother," and he read them with his last breath. I don't know whether other people who were here last night heard that. This is the last thing. This is amongst the last thing Jesus did that day. With his dying breath, for some reason, he turns to Mary and hands her to John, and to John, and hands him to Mary. Why? Why? I've read through this passion many times. I've been a Christian for nearly 30 years, and I just thought that the sermon that one would preach on this passage is, wow, look at Jesus. Like, with his last breath, he is so selfless that he is concerned for his mother and his disciples. Isn't that amazingly sacrificial? But the more I reflected on it, I've realized there's a lot more going on in this passage, this short passage. Look forward just a little bit to verse 28. Later, which is literally after this, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that Scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." Later, after this, after what? After those final words, after those words to Mary and to John. Many commentators through history have thought, surely it's not that important, like, really? It's an afterthought. But John says, after this, everything had been finished. What had been finished? What had been finished with that act, with that command almost? It looks really kind of a little bit callous, doesn't it? Woman, here is your son. This is his mother. This is the one who raised him from birth. Surely that's a little bit standoffish to say woman. Surely there's this note of command there, isn't there? Woman, here is your son. And to the disciple, here is your mother. It's as if, with his dying breath, he is putting these two people who aren't family together. He is creating a new family. There was another time where Jesus spoke to his mother in that way, wasn't there? In John chapter 2, at the very beginning of this gospel, in John 2, Jesus is at a wedding. The formation of another family, really. That's what a wedding is, isn't it? He's at a wedding and they're running out of wine, and Mary goes to Jesus and says, "Jesus, do something." He says, "Woman, it's not my time. My hour has not yet come." But then he goes and sorts that problem out. He starts that family off with a great party. And here, we actually see an echo of that, because now that hour has come. That hour has come. It's a bit hidden in our translation in verse 27. "And to the disciple, here is your mother." In our translation, it reads, "From that time on, this disciple took her into his home." Literally, it's from that hour where he could not act in John 2 at the wedding, that hour has come, and he has formed a new family. And it's not a family that's based on the nuclear family. We live in a world that is so focused on the individual and on our rights as to be ourselves, to be true to who we are in ourselves. We think that that is actually what life is all about, to be able to express yourself fully as an individual. And yet on the cross, we see that perhaps that is not a full and joyous life. On the cross, we see that life, full life, is found in this new family where strangers are brought together by the command of the King. We read the Passion narrative last night, and John's Passion narrative has a whole heap of stuff that we don't read in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And if we just remember what we listened to last night, or what you might have read in the past from John 13 through to John 19, what were Jesus' last words most focused on? Jesus' last words were focused on bringing together a community that had love at its centre. That had love at its centre. In John 13, just before Jesus washes the disciples' feet, John starts his passion narrative with, "It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end." The message John wants us not to miss about the events of that Passover is that the King departed with the express goal of creating a new community, a new kingdom of people who love one another. People who aren't family, but are individuals who believe in Jesus and are brought together by him. He goes on in John 13, verse 19, "I am telling you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am who I am. Very truly I tell you, whoever accepts anyone I send accepts me, and whoever accepts me accepts the one who sent me." Again, our translation has that word "accept" in there. It's literally received. It's literally whoever receives anyone whom I command receives me. And with his dying breath, from that time on, from that hour, this disciple received her into his home. Received her into his home. The word is the same. So what John wants us to recognize today as we reflect on the cross is that, yes, Jesus died for our sin, and he died to save us and make us right with God, but he died in order to form a new community, a community where those who receive him, those who believe in his name, would join together and be a new community, be people based around his love and his sacrifice. That is what Jesus was waiting for at the very end of his life. After this, knowing that everything had now been finished, that this new family had been brought together around the cross and around his love, then he gave up his spirit to form that new command, that new family, bowed his head and died. So I look at the crucifixion and I, yes, There is suffering and there is death and there is atonement and there is grace and there is peace. But there is good news. There is a new community formed around the cross on that day with Jesus' last breath. I just want to finish with Jesus' last prayer. We read it last night. John chapter 17. I just want to read what Jesus' last prayer for us was. And I hope you hear in that prayer his dying words as he formed a new family based on love. Verse 20, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one, as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. Jesus' last command from the cross was that a new community be formed. A community founded and based on love that would continue to make him known until he returns. A community that is literally one, formed around him and his death, because that is what unifies people. Everyone is seeking for an identity today. But Jesus, with his dying breath, has given us that identity. We are one with his last words. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you did give up your spirit to form us and make us anew, to bring us together, people who would not otherwise be together. We are united because of your death. We love each other because you first loved us and gave yourself for us 2,000 years ago to create this community, a community that you long will grow and will build and enlarge and love so that everyone would know that you are God. You love us and you have saved us. Amen.